Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Better Living. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Continuing our conversation about DAPS, the Dallas Area Parkinsonism Society. I just got done with board president, Dr. Chad Swank. We are moving on to board member, vice president, and also a member of this organization. Her name is Jo Klein. How are you doing today?
Very good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Glad that you're here. This organization was one of the first where I had two representatives come in. It provides a much better look at who the organization helps and how it operates. So I'm glad that you are joining us, especially for the first time. You're going to be able to help us understand this organization from your position as vice president, but also as a member and a person living with Parkinson's. So let's talk about first how you found this organization, and I think maybe we can kind of work backwards from there. So when did you first find DAPS?
Actually, I was going to the Cooper Aerobic Center to do exercise in a Parkinson's class, and a couple of the members were members of DAPS and said, Joe, this would be a really good organization for you to join. And so then I joined DAPS, and then I started going to five different classes a week, and it kept building and building on itself. The more I started, the more I got involved. And I went to the monthly meetings for educational purposes and found that it was a good way to interact with other people that have the same disease and learn what was important to them.
So it got a grip of you real quick.
Right.
What was it? Was it the camaraderie of what this organization was providing that made you really want to stick around?
The networking and relationships with other people is so strong when you share the same disease.
Even as opposed to being in a group, you know, you said you were in an aerobics class with other people with Parkinson's. Is it always helpful to go almost even deeper than that, to really be almost encased with people who are either experts in the field or are dealing with it themselves?
I think that's important. Exercise is one component, but you're also sharing what medications you're on. You're talking about what symptoms you have on. You can really develop a rapport and get confidence and a relief by being with the other people.
And it's just through talking about it.
Absolutely.
I think that a lot of people underestimate the power of just being honest with people, especially in stressful situations, and actually talking. Was it easy for you to open up and to talk about the situation you were in and the things that you were doing that were helping you and the things that you were doing that were hurting you?
When you're first diagnosed with Parkinson's, you're not sure what's happening. I had tremors on my left side, and I knew I was shaking. And it took a while to figure out that it was Parkinson's and it wasn't magnesium or urinary tract or endocrinology or so forth. But once you find it out, there's a little bit of embarrassment because your movements, you don't want other people that are non-Parkinson's to see it. But you find out quickly that you heal faster and gain more confidence, and the more you're open about what you have to your friends, your family, your neighbors, and those that you care about the most. And then it builds from there when you start to have relationships with people that have Parkinson's, because we have our own jokes that only we laugh at, and we also can share concerns about someone might be having hallucinations, and concerned about how often do other people have hallucinations, or it may be memory lapses or all sorts of different symptoms.
You almost make it sound like there's a healing factor that goes along with just being honest with your situation. Is it the easing of the mental burden?
I think so.
That kind of helps you just focus on the things that will actually help you?
Yet one of the things that really impacts your tremors and symptoms is stress. The more you have stress, the worse your symptoms get. So if you can eliminate the stress, eliminate the anxiety, and be open and have a sense of humor about it. We laugh about having yogurt and not hitting everybody in the room. And how to handle a spoon. So you go back to just how little kids do it, and you're perfectly fine. But I think being more open, being able to acknowledge it and share what's going on with other people reduces that anxiety and stress and makes you for a better well-being.
Was this something that you discovered through your experiences with DAPS, or is this something that people told you about when you got there? When you were the new person showing up to DAPS meetings, did people coach you along and say, look, if you kind of follow what we're doing here, it's going to really help? Or did you notice over time that things are improving?
I think it was experience with people. I actually heard about DAPS in December and then joined the board in January. That was pretty fast.
That's always my question for people that are a part of an organization. If you're a member and then you become, involved, you're the vice president of this organization right now. So you're not kind of involved, you're heavily involved. So
absolutely.
For people to make that leap, sometimes it's a weird journey. Other times they do it as fast as they can, and it sounds like you went as fast as you could.
Absolutely. I find it very rewarding to help others. It gives me a purpose. When you see other people learn how to stand up from a walker or a wheelchair and feel proud they haven't done it for 2 years and they're able to stand for 2 minutes or 15 minutes and the class applauds for you, it's just invigorating. And it feels like you're giving back.
So you're at a point now where you're not necessarily focusing on the things that you're getting from DAPS. Your reason for being there and the thing that drives you to want to be so heavily involved in an organization like this is really watching the benefit it has on other people.
That's true. Of course, there's things it does for me, but I get a lot of energy and satisfaction from helping others. And especially people that just recently got diagnosed. I've been there, done that. It's a great feeling to help somebody come over the new relationship with Parkinson's and how to share it with their family and so forth. Especially younger people. Parkinson's has gone from the average age of onset of 65 now to 55. Mm. And there's a lot of people that are under 40 in some of the classes that have Parkinson's.
Is that rare, or are they just getting is diagnosis better? I talked about that a lot in the previous segment. Is diagnosis getting better, and that's why people are seeing it younger, or is it just a different form maybe?
I think there's about 4% of the people that are under 40 years old that have Parkinson's now. The age for onset of Parkinson's is getting lower and lower every year. And I don't know that we know why that is.
You were in the you gave me a packet with my name on it. Highlighted
nice?
Certain sections. I didn't have enough time to go through it. You should have mailed it to me before. But I saw that you were in the science field. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. What was your background?
My master's is in microbiology and immunology, and I worked at Abbott Laboratories. I was over at the worldwide microbiology business. So I handled things like urine specimen and containers and things like that. Not so glamorous, but that was the business.
But your expertise in this field, it's got to make you understand this and look at this in a very different light than most
people.
That's
probably true.
Do you actually enjoy having that information? I think that some people might honestly find it a burden because you are going to know and understand a lot more about this than the average Joe.
I actually enjoy the non-clinical parts more than the clinical parts now, because I understand the clinical. I've always been a person that talks the facts, the figures, and all this stuff. And now I'm the person that talks emotions and how do you feel. So that's opened up a different side of me.
So you mentioned earlier, very specifically, a 4% figure. I think mm-hmm. you said it was 4% in...
Less than 40 years old.
Less than 40, okay. Anytime people... I'm a roughly type dude, where I'm like, it's a majority of people. I don't usually get down to the nitty-gritty of a 4% figure. You're never going to hear me mm-hmm. bust that out. But that is your personality. And you're saying now that you've transformed into a more... Would you say you're a more emotional person?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you expect that?
No. I thought I was just going to live life as my straight, normal, blunt, direct individual.
Right.
Because that was me. Now there's a side of me that I like.
Is it surprising?
It is, yeah.
Do the people around you, have they noticed?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do they like it?
Oh, yes. I think people gravitate to me more because of this sense of care.
So but what is it? Is it empathy? Is it?
It's empathy. It's caring. It's trying to desire to get immediate results. All of those things.
And all in an effort just to help other people.
Right.
But it's also given you something. What has that emotional component given your life individually?
I'm probably consumed by Parkinson's and DAPS now. That it used to be I worked really long hours, was at a healthcare company, and now it's all day long working on behalf of DAPS. I can't do enough. So it's whether it's doing the celebration for the 40th, whether it's doing Community Day, whether it's doing a Lifetime Achievement Award, whether it's I go to 5 classes a week because I want to see what's going on in all the classes. So I keep going to more and more, and you end up, you know, 3 or 4 times a day going to different classes. But I find that you see different ages of people. There's one class that's an exercise class, and everyone in there pretty much is in wheelchairs and walkers. And they're trying to stand up. They're trying to learn how to sit in the car, and they're learning how to get up from a fall. That's a unique perspective, but it's really such a good feeling of purpose to see somebody get their confidence to be able to stand.
Joe Klein is the vice president and alpha of the Dallas Area Parkinsonism Society. Their website, DAPS, DAPS.us. I want to talk about the classes, and more specifically, I want to talk about the classes that you're a part of, because I think it's going to be a good snapshot of what is available, what you do in them, and also the benefits that you gain from these classes. But I think that I would like to learn a little bit more about your experience with having Parkinson's. So when were you first diagnosed?
December 2013. And mine was tremors on the left side of my body, which was the less dominant side of me. And they say most of the time that people that have Parkinson's have probably already had it for 5 years before the symptoms start to show up. And so when I found out that I was shaking and not knowing why I was shaking, and we tried to eliminate drugs and magnesium and different thyroid and things like that, and went to a movement specialist, and it took probably 8 months to a year to find out that was the diagnosis.
Did you feel in the back of your head that maybe it was Parkinson's? Was that something that occurred to you, or was it a shock when they finally diagnosed it?
No, I can tell you a funny story about that. I knew it was one of 4 things, and Parkinson was probably the most likely because it hit one side of my body, and that's a classic example of it's on the left side and it's not all the whole body. And so when I went to the movement specialist before the hour was over, he said, "You have Parkinson's." He asked me, "What do you think it is?" And I said, "I think it's Parkinson's." And he said, "Do you want to split the fee?"
I have to ask, are you, because of your nature and because of your professional background, are you a difficult patient?
I'm a demanding patient.
So that's a yes.
Probably. I know, and I challenge, I just recently switched medications, but yet I was having some trouble with vertigo. And so I blamed it on the medication. And my neurologist and I had a discussion about whether it was the medication or not. You probably have to cut this. But I said,
"Oh, I'm definitely leaving this in."
I said, "If it's not the medication, why is it only in the middle of the day it's worse than at night, in the morning, and the medication's all day long?" He said that's the time you're the most active. So he had to explain to me why things work. So yes, I'm probably.
But they say to be an like that's how you are a good patient. They say to be an advocate. You're not supposed to just be passive. The more active you are in something like this or a situation like this, the better off you are.
Absolutely. You know, the people that can control the disease the most are people that are prepared before they see their doctor. They keep a diary of when do your symptoms occur? How is the medication helping or not helping? It's very common that you start with medication and have to change the medication because you build up a tolerance to it. Then you start a new medication, and then you start a new one and a new dosage. And it's very difficult to keep track of if you don't keep a diary of what's happening. And you're much more helpful with your physician to be able to help you.
What do you experience through this disease right now? Is there something that troubles you? Because I'd also like to talk about the medications, because we talked a little bit off mic about this, and I think that it would just help people who are listening that either have it or think they might have it or have a family member just kind of figure out what you deal with day to day, because I would never know that there was anything wrong with you from the moment we met, for the conversation that we already had that you hung around for. Now here, there's not anything to me that is a giveaway that you're dealing with any kind of ailment. So what do you have to deal with on a daily basis having Parkinson's?
I think trying to keep a positive attitude, keeping stimulated intellectually, and doing the exercises and managing the medications. And I'll start with keeping stimulated mentally. You sometimes have mental lapses where you can't find the word you want to say. You don't know when it's going to happen, but and then you get so frustrated with yourself. So I intentionally do games to keep my mind busy and active. The medications, I take medication 5 times a day, and they have to be 5 hours apart. So I have to have a tool on my iPhone that says it sends a reminder to me it's time to take your medication. Now, it can be complex by taking medication and have other problems, like I have allergies. And you can't use allergy medication when you have Parkinson's medication at the same time, so you have to look at side effects. So the medication is one of the most difficult things to manage with Parkinson's. I started out on amantadine, and it lasted 8 months, and I had to switch to a new medication. But we had to wean me off the first medication and start the next medication, and took 7 weeks to get the dosage right.
A lot of patients involved with this.
Right. And so it's real difficult to keep track of medication.
Are you happy with the medications that you're on? We talked about this in the previous segment with Board President Dr. Chad Swank, that sometimes the cure is almost worse than the disease. So figuring out what pills and what cocktail works good for you is going to be maybe one of the most important things you do for your health. Do you like where you're at with your meds, because you're taking a lot of stuff?
I don't like to have to take medications as much as I do. I don't like having to worry about the medication interacting with something else. Whether it's a vitamin, whether it's allergy medicine or anything else. Parkinson in itself is hard to get used to tremors, but the fear has gone from the tremors to more the medication. So it could be that the medication is not as easy to deal with.
Routine was one of the things that I did want to get in. It seems like having a very established routine and schedule it's not even an option for people with Parkinson's. You have to do this.
Absolutely.
If you want to be healthy and happy.
Absolutely. So I start my first medication at 7. I start my next one at 8, and then I start my next one at noon, and I start the next one at 4, then I have one at 8 o'clock, and then one at 10:30. So that is a day for me of when I need to take medication. Now, meanwhile, you're living your life. So you're having to make sure you carry it in your pocket or carry it with you, and you're doing things on time.
You seem like you are a very scheduled person.
I am probably invented structure and schedule.
So this actually maybe was a good fit simply because you seem like you're a down to the second kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I probably have to be.
So, and obviously you do, but it helps.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see people that struggle with that. They kind of wait too long before they take their medication, and they're already...
Does it make you nervous when you know people are doing that?
Yeah. And so I ask them, did you take your medication? And I'll go get you some water.
Please take your medicine for me.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I've done that many times.
All right, let's talk about the programs that DAPS offer. This is one of the things that seems to be one of the things that you really like about this organization. You said that you're going to a lot of classes. Are you going to classes that only are for you, or are you now just sitting in on classes just to see how they're running and seeing what they could use to improve or how they're running
or working? I participate in all the classes, no matter what they are. And I'll tell you, the first one on Tuesdays, I go to a dance class. And the reason the dance class is good is because you have to do flexible movement, stretching, but also they have you do memory exercises. You have to remember what the dance steps are. So you're really addressing both your movement and your memory at the same time. And then everybody introduces themselves in the class, and they have to do a separate dance movement. So I'm Joe. Here's
a memory game.
Yeah. So it's a really good stressing all the different functions and impact. There's a class I have on Thursdays that has people with the walkers and wheelchairs, and we do balloon badminton. And you actually play badminton with the balloon with your dominant arm first.
Mm.
And then it's a lot of getting hit with the balloons with the dominant arms. And then we switch to forcing you to play badminton with your less dominant arm. And it slows down considerably. But it teaches you to use both parts of your body. And then I have an exercise class that's more stretching and balance. You stand on one leg and focus on something on the wall so that you can build up your stamina and balance.
This group has a lot of really slick exercises. Like the dance class you were talking about, it not only works you out physically, but also mentally. You're addressing both issues that you're going to have if you have Parkinson's. When you have a disease like this and you're doing these kind of exercises, do you feel, when I get done with an exercise, I am calmer, but it's mostly a muscle endeavor. My body is sore. Does your brain feel tired after a workout? Do you feel like you're exercising your brain as much as you are your body, and do you feel that?
I feel more energetic with the exercise because it stimulated me. If I don't go to classes for any reason, I feel very tired. So the classes do just the opposite. You feel more energetic,
feel
more
sharper,
stimulated. You feel brighter.
Is this something that you notice with the people that are there? And is it sort of addictive?
I think it is, and we laugh at each other and have a good time, and everybody has more stimulation.
It seems to have almost like a club mentality. You kind of light up when you talk about the people that you're going to these classes with and the jokes that you guys have and just the rapport.
Right.
Is that something that you think maybe keeps people coming? Because everyone has that time when they don't want to go to the gym. But if you're going to go hang out with friends, it makes it a little easier.
I actually talked to one of the instructors about attendance, and the attendance is much higher with Parkinson's classes than any other class she has because people look forward to seeing their friends and the other people that they've developed a relationship. And we watch out for each other. There are some days when somebody will fall, and so we help get them up and help them get back on their feet and doing exercises. There's times when some people can walk better backwards than they can forward. There's different things that you notice, and you're always there to help each other. And you can tell when somebody's a little depressed, and you can pick them up, pick up on it, and help them out.
Do you participate in the more emotional aspects of the organization as well as the physical? Because I know you play basketball, you're in the dance class, you're doing a lot of the physical stuff, and you get the mental stimulation, but there is also the therapy groups. So do those speak as much to you as the other things?
I've only helped with the early on, recently diagnosed Parkinson's patients because I haven't experienced the further stages of Parkinson's. So the caregiving, I probably don't have as much to offer. But people that are just early onset Parkinson's, I talk to about my experiences, what happened.
What do you need to give those people that have just found out? What do they need? Because I don't feel that anybody would be able to give advice or understand what is happening unless you've been through it yourself.
Yeah. Actually, what I do, a couple of things. One is there's a small little book that's from the National Parkinson Foundation that we give. And it says what you should know about Parkinson's. And it tells you what the symptoms are and what to expect. And it's also how to tell your family and to give to your family members. And when I first had Parkinson's, I actually bought a DAPS membership for each of my brothers and sisters. So they get the newsletter about Parkinson's. And instead of getting a present every year, they get their newsletter now. And believe it or not, they like having that because they learn about it. So I tell new people that have Parkinson's that share the information with your family and tell them what you're doing and how you're keeping track of things. And then we have a Jeopardy game on Parkinson's so you can learn about Parkinson's and what the symptoms are, how to be prepared to talk to the doctor, and what you can expect from medications. And the main thing is with get involved with the classes, you can go to different classes and find what suits you best and make yourself feel like you're trying to control the disease instead of the disease controlling you.
Do you feel that DAPS is good at making people understand that that's the true path to happiness?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I think the Move, Laugh, Connect program, Move is exercising. Laughing is trying to keep that positive attitude. We always have a joke or something going on. Connecting is there anything on your mind you want to ask other people or and so forth? So you're really treating it from a holistic point of view.
You seem to have a very, very good sense of humor about this. You're pretty jokey about a very serious subject. Was that something that you developed on your own as a way to kind of just live a happier life, or is this something that you maybe learned from somebody at DAPS?
Well, I'm not funny. And this is, I think I learned it along the way that, for one thing, too, we were trying to sign a picture of the whole class, and everybody has their signature go downhill because that's one of the signs of symptoms. It took us 3 months to sign where we didn't sign on top of each other. And we had to laugh about it. But there's things that at the same time you're laughing about that, you're sharing it's a symptom, but we all have it.
Right.
And so we can laugh about it.
You seem to have taken something that a lot of people would see only as a negative and really pushed your life into a very positive direction. You said that you're more empathetic, you're more caring, you have a better sense of humor. You're even more scheduled than you already were. You're helping other people constantly, even though you need to do things for yourself. Has this actually put you into a better position as a human being?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm a better person now and making more contributions than I was before this disease. Not that I'm saying go out and get it, but it's brought another side of me that I didn't realize was there, and it's kind of made me feel that purpose in life. Maybe this was meant to be.
You've got some events coming up on April 9th. You're doing your big 40th anniversary party. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at Park City's United Methodist Church on May 14th. The Kenneth Cooper Achievement Award is going to be given out to a very special individual. That's a lifetime achievement Award. You guys have a lot of really cool things coming up, and I would love to continue talking. Unfortunately, we're up against it. I mentioned before you even came on that you and I were going to easily be able to talk for an hour,
right.
So maybe you should come back and we can continue our conversation and see how you're doing. It's a phenomenal organization and excellent conversation. I really appreciate you coming in and being so honest and just telling your story. I really do. Joe Klein is the vice president of the Dallas Area Parkinsonism Society. Their website, daps.us, daps.us, or you can reach them by phone at 972-620-7600. I really had a good time talking to you, and you're a lot funnier than you give yourself credit for.
Thank you. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.